The Leach Report Radio Network is on the air with the voice of the Wildcats, Tom Leach. Join in with the rest of Big Blue Nation to get the latest insights and opinions on your Kentucky Wildcats from an all-star lineup of guests. If you have a question for Tom or one of our guests, tweet him to @LeachReport or email to LeachReport@gmail.com. And you can call toll-free anywhere across the Commonwealth of Kentucky at 877-904-1080. Now, here's Tom.
Welcome in to our Tuesday edition of the Leach Report. Happy to have you here, and big breaking news for the second straight day in recruiting for the Wildcats. Ashton Hagans commits to Kentucky. So, as you might expect, we'll talk a little bit about that today on the show with our lineup of guests, which includes Ben Roberts, who covers the recruiting scene for the Lexington Herald Leader, does the Next Cats page, Kyle Tucker for SECCountry.com, and Dick Gabriel from the Big Blue Insider Show and our UK Sports Network football broadcast team. So that's our lineup today, the guest lineup today and each day, presented by Sleep Outfitters here on the show. Interact with us via Twitter @LeachReport, email leachreport@gmail.com, or you can call 877-904-1080 toll-free anywhere in Kentucky. Wildcat News of the Day, a service of Cardinal Point Financial Group, private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. Five-star point guard Ashton Hagans announcing his commitment to Kentucky via Twitter this morning. He is considered the first or second point guard in the class of 2018, assuming he reclassifies to it, which everyone, I'm sure, expects that he will do now that he has announced this commitment to Kentucky. Evan Daniels, who will be with us next week, analyst for 24/7 Sports, has described Hagans as tough physical point guard with good size for the position. I'm reading from Fletcher Page's story in the Courier Journal. Evan says what he likes most is how competitive Hagans is. Quote, he competes on both ends and is a rare two-way player. Hagans also has good vision, can really pass, and excels as a playmaker. And Emmanuel Quickly is a point guard himself, but has talked about the possibility of playing with another point guard and says he'd have no issue with that. And I think there's a feeling that Quickly could be effective off the ball, as Quade Green was this past season for Kentucky. So there's an abundance of backcourt players now for the Wildcats. E.J. Montgomery gives them a little front court addition yesterday. And so the pieces are starting to come together for Kentucky's next team. Once again, we'll be heavily leaning on new talent. But if you get P.J. Washington and Jared Vanderbilt back in particular, you're going to have two horses inside from the elbows down to the blocks that are going to be a lot to deal with. They're going to give you a little veteran experience. Hopefully, Awinyan Gabriel is back as a third-year player. So should have a little returning talent. I think ideally you'd like to have somebody in that junior-senior class, and so that's where Winion would be a nice addition to the group next year. But I think it's next to impossible to do it with almost all freshmen, like Kentucky was, the way Kentucky was set up this year. But the more veteran experience you have, even if it's just a year, is a big plus, where guys know the system and know the lay of the land, so to speak, to help the new guys. Sasha Kalia-Jones announcing his transfer, plans to transfer. He's granted a full release from UK, as expected. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander announced he's leaving and will sign with an agent. Coach Cal tweeted out, or said in a statement, I think, a strong comment, I thought. Shea's development is a story I'll tell my players for the rest of my career. So it's a strong compliment to Shea's development and his work ethic. And you will have people say, why didn't Cal recruit players who are going to stay? Sometimes there are guys that you think are going to stay that end up developing quicker and leaving. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, one of those guys. I don't know that anybody was expecting him to be a surefire one and done this time a year ago. Eric Bledsoe was that way. Devin Booker was that way. Then sometimes there are other guys that you might think will be gone after a year that aren't. Alex Poitras ended up staying 4 years. E.J. Washington's likely going to be back. Jared Vanderbilt, you figured with some injury issues, you kind of figured he would be coming back. So it goes both ways. And there's some element of just good fortune that comes into play of being able to avoid having a roster like Kentucky had this season when it was almost all freshmen that they had to rely on. That's a situation I think Cal's going to do his best to avoid moving forward. Said as much on the last radio show. But when you're having a lot of turnover, going to be times that it's a little more difficult than others, and this was one of those years. So I think next year with a little more experience, a lot of new talent, a lot of reasons to be optimistic if you're a Kentucky fan, as is almost always the case. Reports say Kentucky and Seton Hall are finalizing plans for a game at Madison Square Garden to be played tentatively December 8th. I think it's a little about a week earlier than I had heard they were going to try to play that. So give you a little separation between the New York trip and the Chicago trip, because that's the weekend before Christmas when Kentucky will go to Chicago for the CBS Sports Classic and play North Carolina. Tristan Pompey named SEC Player of the Week for Kentucky baseball. Links to the stories that we talk about can be found on the Bud Light Leach Report page at TomLeachKY.com. We're heading to a break at 12 after the top of the hour. Dick Gabriel next up on the Leach Report, served up by Wild Eggs of Lexington.
It's the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. Tweet us at Leach Report or email leachreport@gmail.com.
Dick Gabriel joins the program. He'll be with us on Friday night for the call of the blue-white game out at Kroger Field as spring football practice wraps up for the Wildcats. And you can also hear him on the Big Blue Insider Show weeknights on our flagship station here in Lexington. And Gabe, we get this recruiting news breaking every morning. Got to thank, whether it's Cal or the players or whoever, that's just giving us, serving up this news for the show every morning. That's great.
Yeah, it's been a revolving door, and, you lose, it's up to four, I think, they've lost. But when you you land a couple more five stars, life goes on.
Cal said on the final radio show that we did this season that he didn't want to do this again, to have to rely as heavily on freshmen as they did this season. I don't think you can go where you want to go if you have almost nothing but freshmen. You can do just fine, though, with a little bit of a mix. And they're going to look to be more in that direction next season, where you'll have, some second-year guys, hopefully a third-year guy, and a Winion Gabriel.
Yeah, I agree, and I really think it's important that P.J. Washington come back. I don't blame him for testing the waters, and everybody knows that, the way things are set up now, it's silly if you don't. But what he showed down the stretch last year, free throws notwithstanding, showed I think he can be a really, really important player in college basketball. And I think he could be, for all the talent coming in, he could be the key to that team next year.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. I think he could be the best player they have because he really impressed me as a guy who has a lot more upside to his game. I think you would see him in pregame shooting, the 15, 16 footers. I think he's a guy that could get range to the three-point line with a little time, but certainly next season could be a guy that, if he can consistently knock down the 15-footer, then it's he's a much more difficult player. Hard enough to guard now, but much more difficult to guard because he's got a back-to-the-basket game, and he can drive it. And I always remember, I know you've heard this story, a book that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar did where he was asked who the toughest player to guard was, and he said Dan Issel, because it's something to the effect of he had that eighth-grade jump shot, but you had to guard him because he could make it.
Yeah, and what's interesting is I think PJ is going to be a guy whose game in the pros is different from what his game is in the college ranks, and I think he'll be a 3-and-D guy, or could be, and maybe should be, because he's only 6'7", as you know. I mean, he's got a power forwards game, but he's not going to make a living on that. So to your point, he's going to have to develop more range on a jump shot, including three-pointers in the league, and it can happen. I mean, who thought Rajon Rondo would develop a jump shot? But, the experts would say, and they always do, you put a guy in the professional ranks and doesn't have to worry about going to class and all that stuff, and if he's diligent about his job, he can work on his game every day for hours and hours, unlike college. So yeah, you know, get your mid-range jumper down at the Nutter Center, or at the Craft Center rather, and I'm lose track of my centers, and then once you get to the pros, you know, you can expand that. So yeah, I think this could be a vital college season for him in so many ways, assuming he comes back.
Now, for all of the excitement about the new recruits and two in the last 2 days that have committed, and we're all anticipating Higgins will reclassify to 2018 and be in this class, I think I might be most excited about the prospect of a second year of an extended run of Washington and Vanderbilt together, because I really enjoyed watching the way they played off each other as they went through that little 8 to 10 game stretch that Jared came back.
I agree, and you know, I think that we can't just assume Vanderbilt's coming back, but that makes the most sense. And that's another guy who I think would probably benefit from another year in college as opposed to the pros. But you know, and I really love, and you know, you've talked to him at length, listening to Mike Pratt talk about, you know, how players develop and things like that. And in some cases, it is better. Look, if you want to go to the G League, that's fine, but you're going to make it a little bit tougher on yourself. And I think Vanderbilt is another guy who could just have an explosive season next year. And you mentioned Wenyon. Well, if those guys are prospering, just think about how that's going to benefit his game. So I think Kentucky could make a jump from a team that was learning, you know, every minute it was on the floor, to a team, as you mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, that is relatively speaking rich in experience, and one that could make another deep run.
Yeah, and you've got potentially a Quad A greenback. I know there's some fear that he, with all the folks that are coming in, that he could leave, and you know, that kind of thing wouldn't shock you. But you know, you've got him, you've got Jamal Baker for a second year. You know, just having several second year guys would be a significant amount of experience.
Yeah, and I want to see Jamal Baker play. I mean, you know, yeah. I've seen clips of him playing in high school, but you know, people, I think, have a tendency to forget that he's coming in, and he's the guy who can shoot, supposedly. So, you know, that's another huge plus.
With the two guys in the last 2 days coming from the state of Georgia, I was thinking, you know, boy, there's been a lot of good Kentucky guys from the state of Georgia over the years, and so I punched up John Scott's site of stats at BigBlueHistory.net.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, you've got, as far back, the first one's Bill Spivey. Good place to start.
Really?
But you've got Derek Miller, Kenny Walker, of course, Jeff Shepard, Randolph Morris, Jody Meeks, Gerald Fitch, the ill-fated Eric Manuel, Rodney Dent, Cedric Jenkins, the all-too-brief career of Rashad Carruth, but a, you know, talented guy. But the last, just look at this list, the last Kentucky player, I think, is Jody from the state of Georgia. So, you know, I have two guys, Higgins and Montgomery, coming in from Georgia. That's been a good pipeline for Kentucky in football and basketball.
You know, I was thinking about that just last night, and, you know, when you think about great players from the state of Georgia, you instantly say, well, Kenny Walker's the best. You know, who came to Kentucky from Georgia, and he might well be, but I have to be honest with you, and you got to throw Jody in there, you know, being the record holder and all that, but I have completely forgotten, if I even knew it, that Bill Spivey was from Georgia. Now, different eras and all that stuff, but, you know, if he hadn't been hosed by the decision to leave him out of the pros, there's no telling what he would have done in professional ball. But, yeah, but you know what I was thinking too, Tom? They've got a coach down there who I think is going to do everything he can to shut the borders and make things tougher. But right now, mm-hmm. Calipari has snagged a couple that's got to make Tom Crean redouble his efforts.
23 after the top of the hour. Take a quick break. We'll come back with Gabe and talk a little spring football and baseball when we come right back. It's the Leach Report Radio Network.
This is the Leach Report on Talk Radio 1080. You can follow Tom on Twitter. It's at Tom Leach, KY.
Change course, talk a little football with Dick Gabriel. He and I, Freddie Maggard, will be on the call out at the Kroger Field on Friday night for the spring game. There's a digital pregame show that'll start at 5:30 with Freddie and Christy, and then we'll hit the air on the radio at 6 Eastern and a 6:30 start. And obviously everybody's going to be focusing first and foremost on the quarterbacks, Gabe. What are the other storylines you'll be most interested, or players you'll be most interested to watch in this game?
Well, obviously linebacker. I mean, they're thin, and, you know, Courtney Love with his strong presence as a leader and, you know, a guy who I think really improved markedly from junior to senior season. I think, you know, now that he's gone, you know, Cash Daniel, it seems, has kind of seized that opportunity. I thought it was interesting that Mark Stoops was a little bit, I don't know if lukewarm's the right word, but early in the spring, you know, he was like, let's wait, let's see how Cash does it. Now he just gushes about him. So apparently he's really turned this opportunity into his own. So, you know, I think losing Eli Brown, Tom, is really going to hurt this team. I really liked his upside. They've got some other guys, but that guy had, I thought, just a load of talent. He was undersized, but he was just always around the football. You know, I don't blame him for leaving. He wants to be, you know, a three-down linebacker, but, you know, it's just interesting that it seems like they recruit to this position quite a bit, but that's going to be a tough spot. But also, I want to see the receivers, you know, and you and I have seen a lot of spring practices and a lot of spring games, and I never know exactly what I'm seeing for obvious reasons, but the one thing you do know, the one thing you can judge for yourself, no matter how much football you know, is are they catching the ball? Or are they dropping the ball? You know, and I want to see if guys can, first of all, get open, and secondly, hang on to the football. You know, granted, the quarterbacks have to make catchable throws, but I want to see if these guys can get out there and make enough catches to where they'll move the chains consistently this year. That's going to be big, I think.
Quick baseball question. You're on that beat a lot. Kentucky's SEC record's not quite the think where maybe the average fan was expecting it to be with all of the hype coming into the season, granted in a brutally tough league. But where is Kentucky baseball at this point, and what do you look for in the second, sort of the second half?
I think it's at a little bit of a turning point because of the problem they've got with their Saturday starters. With Zach Thompson's elbow problems, they got to figure that out. Nick Mangione said that on Monday night on his show. He said, we got to figure out Saturday. You know, I mean, last year their rotation was really consistent, but they've struggled there. And then Jelly's had, you know, a couple of stumbles this year on Friday night. So they've got to get that nailed down. And then they just need to be more consistent at the plate. You know, he's juggled his lineup a little bit. He's got Alex Rodriguez at third, who's been just sensational defensively, but is still trying to get on track on offense. So, you know, they're not as explosive offensively throughout the lineup as they were last year. They've got more power, but they're not as consistent, so I think they just need to settle into that, get that pitching figured out on Saturday. Their bullpen's not been too bad, but I think they're set up to make a run.
Dick Gabriel, thank you much.
See you, buddy.
Gabe and Freddie and I will be on the call for you on the UK Radio Network Friday night from Kroger Field with the spring game for Kentucky football. We are halfway home on this edition of the Leach Report. Ben Roberts coming up when we return. Kyle Tucker a little later. Jim O'Brien was with us last week talking about his memoir on 50 years in basketball, or I remember 40, I think it is. Anyway, he said he got a lot of great feedback, including a guy that we'll tell you about when we come back. It's a big Cal Perry fan. It's the Leach Report, Radio Network. Ben Roberts joins the program now from the Lexington Herald Leader, KentuckySports.com, where, among other things, he does the Next Cats page. And they've been keeping you busy the last two mornings. E.J. Montgomery, now Ashton Hagans. Neither a surprise, certainly, but talk first about the most recent one, Hagans, about his game.
Yeah, Hagans is a guy who probably fits the mold more of what people have been used to with Calipari point guards. He's a 6'3", 6'4", strong, gets to the basket really well, and that's really his game. He can make great decisions and distribute once he gets in there. Not the best shooter, but they're going to have really good shooters around him. It looks like no matter when he gets to Kentucky. So, I think he's kind of the missing piece in that backcourt. You know, obviously Quickley is a great point guard, but not really the, you know, the strong bull type who can get into the lane at will. And, Quade Green, assuming he's back, we kind of saw what he could do this past season. Great shooter. Could kind of manage in the half court, but again, not quite that guy that can do the things that Ashton Hagans is able to do so easily, it seems like.
We know Quade can play off the ball, and from what I read from those of you who follow the high school scene, Quickly is a guy that the feeling is can do that as well, right?
Yeah, and he's been really surprisingly frank about that, going back to even more than a year ago, when it became clear that he was going to commit to Kentucky down the road. I talked to him quite a bit about, you know, obviously Quade Green wasn't projected as a one-and-done guy. It looked like he would be playing alongside of him, and he said that was no problem, that he understood that if you come to Kentucky, you gotta play with some guys like that, and then he saw that as an opportunity to make himself better, establish himself more as an off-the-ball type of guy, but also, obviously, you know, he expects some opportunities to play on the ball, too. And then I asked him, in Atlanta a couple weeks ago, when it was looking like Ashton Hagans was going to get that offer and would probably commit and maybe reclassify for next season, he said the same stuff. I mean, he's just a guy who I think, you know, he obviously wants to be a pro. He feels confident in his point guard abilities. He's worked a ton on his shooting over the past couple years. And I think he's a guy who, kind of like we saw with Quad A, can really flourish in that off-the-ball role. But if you need him to play on the ball, he's going to be there. I really think all three of those guys could actually play together on the court at the same time, which would be quite something because, you know, we've seen Quad A. The other two are so long and so athletic and pay such attention to defense that I think those guys could guard the two or three spot, too. So you could see a three-point guard lineup from Cal, I think, next season at times.
In your story that you have posted today at KentuckySports.com about the Hagans commitment, you include a nugget in there about one of the national analysts, Jerry Meyer, saying that Kentucky could end up with the number one ranked class for all of the buzz about Duke, right?
Yeah, that's, you know, they've got their formula for figuring out who has the top class. And it's a little weird right now because Ashton is currently in the class of 2019, so they don't exactly know what number to punch in for him. To see how all that's going to shake out. But, you know, looking at that class, looking at this 2018 class and watching those point guards, at the McDonald's game a couple weeks ago, I got to think Ashton's going to be around the same spot. I would think he would be no lower than 10 or 11 overall in that class and certainly still among the top point guards. So, yeah, I think when they punch that in there, you know, if he reclassifies or makes that announcement before Duke gets another commitment, which I still think is possible, too, I think Kentucky would hold that top spot. But I certainly don't think Duke is done recruiting. I think they'll probably come up with something else between now and start of next season.
What are they looking for?
Well, they need depth. Obviously, they've got those four great, great recruits coming in, really 1, 2, 3, 4 at each position. They've got Bolden Laurier probably coming back, it looks like. Alex O'Connell, I think, showed some really good flashes at points during the season. Didn't play a ton, but when he was out there, looked really good, especially shooting the ball. But, you know, I think that they want to add at least another body or two. I know they're kind of looking at some grad transfers. But it seems like there's always, you know, around this time of year, maybe a little later as we get closer to the spring, there's always two or three recruits that pop up that weren't really on anybody's radar, at least weren't on the national radar during the season. And then obviously, as we saw with Marvin Bagley last year, as we're, I think, going to see with Ashton Hagans this summer, I think you could see a reclass or two as we get toward the end of the summer.
Talk with Ben Roberts from the Lexington Herald Leader. We've talked about Hagans. They got Montgomery yesterday. You've been around him a lot. What's his game like? Anybody it reminds you of?
You know, I was trying to think about that as I watched them down in Atlanta, and I don't know that Cal's really had a player quite like him since he's been here. I mean, he's 6'11", he's so skilled offensively, and has such a great feel for the game. I put up a little highlight video of kind of some clips that I shot. I put it up yesterday, clips that I shot during those practices. They don't really do it justice because if you just, you know, train on him and just watch him through a whole practice, through a whole workout situation, you can just tell that he knows where to be. He knows where the ball is going to be. He knows what he's supposed to do. And he's not, I mean, he's not just a guy you stick on the block and score. He can pass. He can run the floor. He's really even better than his post scoring right now. He's better at stepping out and hitting those 15 foot jumpers. And in that video and other videos of him, you can tell that shooting stroke is just for a guy who's 6'11". He just has a great, a great basketball body, a great basketball mind, it seems like, and just really knows what he's supposed to be doing. He rebounds well when he plays with energy, which he's doing a lot more lately. He rebounds so well, and I think his length and athleticism and again, the kind of that basketball IQ is gonna lead him to be a pretty good defender at the beginning of his college career and projects with some pretty high upside on that end of the court.
Assuming PJ and Jared Vanderbilt are back, I think PJ is going to incorporate more of that mid-range, elbow jumper to his game. We know that he can face up and drive very effectively. Sounds like, those two qualities are part of the toolbox for Montgomery. Vanderbilt, not a great outside shooter yet, certainly, but can handle and an excellent passer. So you'll have some very versatile bigs there.
Yeah, you will, and it's going to be interesting because that backcourt is going to be so good and so balanced. It's not just going to be a bunch of a bunch of guys who play like Ashton Hagans. You got some great shooters like Tyler Hero in there. You got a guy like Keldon Johnson who does everything so well, and then those three front court guys. I kind of see EJ a little bit as kind of like a 6'11 PJ. He does a lot of the same stuff. He can face up and drive. He can take over games on the block like we saw PJ against Kansas State. And I think having EJ down there is really going to open up PJ's game if he decides to come back. Like you said, I think he'll be able to step out a little bit more. Those guys can kind of play off of each other. And if PJ comes back, I'm really interested to see how those two guys play off each other, because I think they could both really flourish, and it just the presence of the other could really open up the other guy's game.
Who else do you think departs? I think the favorite on that morning line right now is Diallo, right? The next highest odds to depart.
Yeah. Without question, I think with Diallo coming back last year, I think it was in his mind that maybe not, no matter what, but there was probably a 95% chance he was going to leave after this season, and I think his stock looks to be in about the same spot, maybe a little lower than it was last year. And I'd never got the feel that he was going to be back for another season. And I'm not sure exactly how he fits. I mean, you can always take a guy who's a borderline first round pick and make it work, but it just seems like the roster construction for next season kind of sets itself up in a kind of completely different way, a completely different team. And I expect he'll be gone anyway, and probably hear that announcement in the next few weeks. Jared, he definitely wants to go. Everybody wants to be a first-round pick. With him, I was talking to some people in Atlanta, a lot of NBA people there. I got the sense that they felt like he might not be drafted at all this year, especially depending on what his injury and health situation is going into that workout season and the combine season. So everybody I talked to said he certainly needed at least one more season, and everybody needed to see more of him. Now, obviously, it only takes one team, but I can't imagine him getting any sort of promise or anything that he's going to be a first-round pick. So that's just going to come down to a tough decision on his part. And then with PJ, I would be surprised if they left if he didn't look like a first-round pick. So, and again, I don't know that he is right now. So I've kind of always expected PJ back. So, I think Diallo gone, Vanderbilt still a bit of a wild card.
Ben, thank you much.
Yep, thanks, so.
That's Ben Roberts from the Lexington Herald Leader. Does the next Cats page at KentuckySports.com. Before we get to the break, wanted to mention, to get back to the thing I mentioned right at the bottom of the hour, Jim O'Brien, who was with us last week talking about his book, he was telling me about the great response that he got from you guys. Sold some books, and just heard from fans who reached out to talk about some of the stories he told, one of whom was a guy named Jack McKay, who's up in Pittsburgh, and a big Calipari and Kentucky basketball fan, and listens to our show daily up there, and gave Jim a call right after the appearance here on the show. So always good to know that you guys like what we're doing, so appreciate hearing from Jack via Jim O'Brien. Got to get to a break. When we come back, we'll check in with Kyle Tucker from SECCountry.com. It's the Leach Report, Radio Network.
You're tuned to Talk Radio 1080 and the Leach Report. And visit TomLeachKY.com for more news and views on the Cats.
Kyle Tucker joins the program. You can read him at seccountry.com and track the daily happenings around things like Kentucky basketball recruiting and the comings and goings of players. And Kyle, the comings and goings is particularly interesting at the moment with two new additions. Montgomery, it looks like, impacted Sasha Kalia-Jones to transfer. Knox's decision, maybe that impacted Montgomery's decision, I don't know. Ashton Hagans commits the day after Shai Gilgeous-Alexander announces that he's leaving. Assume Kentucky's done with recruiting now. The next focus is now on who's staying, right?
Actually, no. I don't think they're done with recruiting.
Oh, really?
I think there's a really good chance that they could add a grad transfer, and I think there's another guy out there that could be a reclassification, and I probably won't share that yet, but I think that's a possibility. I don't think they're necessarily done, and I'm not sure they're done with roster upheaval either. I mean, obviously, Hamidou Diallo is still a decision to make. To a lesser extent, probably PJ and Jared Vanderbilt have decisions to make, although if they want to be first-rounders, I think they'll be back. And then I think there's a couple guys that are going to have decisions to make about whether this roster is getting too crowded for them. I think Wenyen Gabriel is one, and I think Quade Green is another. I think we're still a good ways away from really knowing exactly how Kentucky's roster is going to look next season.
Yeah, you can. There's going to be a squeeze for minutes, certainly. But I think there are times when guys, you can take a step back in terms of minutes, then with the idea that you'll take maybe two steps forward down the road, even if it doesn't happen in the upcoming season, maybe in the following season. Question is, how many guys are taking that longer view?
Yeah, and if you're a guy like Wenyen Gabriel and this is going into your junior year, that runway is getting a lot shorter for you. If you're Quade Green, it's just that this backcourt is ridiculously loaded now with two other five-star point guards now, assuming Ashton Hagans does, in fact, reclassify, and that's, I believe, completely the plan. Then you've got two five-star point guards coming in and quickly, and Hagans. You've got other really good guards in Tyler Hero and Keldon Johnson, who I guess is more of a wing, but don't forget about Jamal Baker, who mm-hmm. was a really good, one of the top 3-point shooters in high school a year ago and had to sit out this past year with an injury. So they're stacked in the backcourt. I still think they'd really love to have Quade Green. He's a very valuable piece in terms of experience and shot maker for them. But he'll definitely have to weigh at least the idea of, is there going to be enough time and opportunity for me?
I don't think Cal wants to be in the position, again, of having to rely exclusively, virtually, on freshmen, as was the case this season. But can you be all you want to be if it's freshmen and mostly freshmen and sophomores?
Yeah, I think if it's, let's say, the class they have coming in, and if they add the pieces, I think they will, they add a grad transfer, as I think is possible. And if PJ and Jared are the, maybe they're the only veterans that come back. Those are two really good ones. If they could only mm-hmm. pick two, I think they might pick those two. Maybe Wenyen would be, I think top three would probably be Wenyen, PJ, and Jared, because they're all the most proven. Even Jared, in such a small window of time, we know if he comes back and he's healthy, he's one of the best rebounders in the country. We know PJ can be a double-double guy. And a go-to force in the post. And we know Wenyen is a shot maker, a guy who can shoot better than 50% from three over the last 10 or so games like he did. I think if it's the right mix of guys, even if they're not as big a number of returning guys as we thought there would be, yes, I think it could work out. You've just got to have some guys who've been there and done it and can the young guys can turn and look to and say, what do we do? And some of those guys have got to be impact players, not just bit players.
I think your point about Washington and Vanderbilt's a good one, because I know I'd heard early last season that Vanderbilt in particular, this was even while he was out, he was the guy that was kind of the, I don't know, Calipari's term would be gatherer, but the guy that the team kind of, gravitated to. He was the don't know if alpha dog was quite the right thing in terms of his personality, but just the guy that magnetic, maybe that he was, you know, so a guy like that coming back would be significant.
Yeah, and PJ too, just two guys mm-hmm. that you know, have that, I guess, you know, you would say dog in them, that they
yeah.
you know, they're going to go out and battle and fight, and their sort of mentality is they want to try to dominate the guy across from them.
And they complement each other well.
Guys coming in like that. What's that?
They complement each other well, too.
Yeah, they play well together. Also, the fact that you'd have those guys, and you've got a couple guys coming in who very clearly have that sort of DNA, Kelvin Johnson being one out there on the wing. I think Ashton Hagans brings that. And so, you know, and then even Tyler Hero, you know, as maybe not defensively, but offensively, has this attack mode mentality that he can come after you, is evidenced by some of his crazy games in high school. I think if that's the mix of guys, young and quote unquote veteran, I think they're going to have the team wide mentality that Calipari really, really likes.
What'd you think of Hero with the Jordan game last weekend?
I think he's really good. I think he's going to be a fan favorite. You know, I think he's got to defend better. I'm not judging that from that All-Star game, and just in general. But I think he's a really legitimate, viable threat, a shot maker. I don't think we're going to be writing stories about, does Kentucky have enough three-point shooting next season? I do think that they're going to have enough of that. You know, and so that he's a kind of guy that they – really needed to add. They need to have somebody like him all the time. You know, I think with him and Baker coming back, they've got some very serious options to make people respect them on the outside.
SECCountry.com. Be following Kyle Tucker for the ongoing coverage of Kentucky's recruiting. Thank you, Kyle.
Thank you.
It's the Leach Report Radio Network. Our guest lineup each day, presented here on the show by Sleep Outfitters, and you still got a chance to get in and take advantage of some great deals on Tempur-Pedic models. For a limited time, save up to 50% on Tempur-Pedic floor models. Sleep Outfitters is the number one Tempur-Pedic retailer in Kentucky. My wife and I have a Tempur-Pedic UK mattress with one of the adjustable bases. Try those out when you're in the store. You will love those. And you get free delivery of qualifying purchases. There's no interest financing plans up to 5 years. And they've got some special deals on Sealy mattresses right now, too, including the Cushion Firm for just $299 at Sleep Outfitters. We'll be right back to wrap up the Leach Report. Slice of Wildcat history, a happy birthday to former Wildcat Nerlens Noel, and it was on this day in 1969 that Joe B. Hall accepted the head coaching job at St. Louis. Yeah, and then Coach Rupp talked to him, and after about a week, he decided to come back to the University of Kentucky, the idea that he would be the successor, and what a job that he did in one of the most difficult spots ever in college basketball, following a legend like Adolph Rupp, so... it was on this day in 1969. That will wrap us up tomorrow. We'll have Chris Fisher, Jen Smith, talk a little UK spring football, Jeremy Plunk from Keeneland. We'll see you then on the Leach Report Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to the Leach Report.